Folks, hello. This is Let's Talk Ed. We started the conversation this week about autism in higher education, but Chris and I are going to talk more broadly about the diversity of folks in higher education. Autism being one of the elements, but there's more to our humanity, and there's more to our 8 billion fellow sisters and brothers. So, Chris, what does inclusion and inclusivity mean to you? Really, when you hear them, is it a political statement or is it ideological? What is it for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, where my mind goes right away is, you know, when we talk about inclusivity, we're talking about let's make our spaces a welcome place for a variety of different people to be. And to me, that's not something that really should be politicized much. You know, we're not talking about, or at least I'm not talking about, let's make it easier for this group of people or something like that. What I'm talking about is understanding that everybody comes from different backgrounds, whether it is race or gender or, religion, socioeconomic, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And every one of those people brings something a little bit different to the table. And every one of those people has some slightly different needs to feel welcome where they are. And, you know, that's what I want, is for everybody to feel welcome where they are.
And I agree. And very commonly what we hear is a question of equality. And while I understand we're all equal in the eyes of the law, we're not talking about that element. We're talking about what each individual needs for their individual success. That may mean that an individual who's large gets not an accommodation, but a particular support for her or his needs. An individual who's first generation gets an orientation to what college means and a support network, right? An individual who's super tall needs similar accommodations, right? And so on. But taking the person into account as opposed to catering to what we consider to be the average, whatever the average is. Because what happens when we cater to the average, in my opinion, and I'd like to hear your perspective, is we are really not there for the individual. And then we complain that we're losing the individual, or we're not seeing particular groups of individuals be successful.
Yeah. And, you know, I get it. It's tough because, you know, we are talking about individuals. And at the same time, you do have to paint with a little bit of a broad brush, because obviously, you know, we can't have truly individual advising where everybody has their very own advisor who works with nobody else. You know, we can't have the Chris Ford Club on campus that is nothing but Chris Ford and his interests, as much as I may like something like that. But at the same time, you know, we have to try and find, you know, how are we going to take these different groups, make sure they have the things in place that they need, take these individuals and make sure that they have the things in place that they need so that they can perform well in the classroom and get a good education and become very productive members of our society. You know, like, I think that's somewhat the goal of college, right?
Right. And I think hidden in what you said is the need to hear out the people. When you take a broad brush stroke, what you're failing to do sometimes is understand what the individual is that makes that cohort is in need of. And like you said, it's not a question to cater to the needs of the individual. It's an opportunity to assist in the individual success. It doesn't mean the rigor is going to be affected. It doesn't necessarily mean that there are more expenditures, because that's what people fear. How much is it going to cost us? Let's be grandfathered in because, you know, 35 years after the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, we haven't changed our bathrooms or our doors because we're grandfathered in. I hear you. That's a savings. That's. But in reality, how have we helped? Because the same restroom that could be helpful for somebody in a wheelchair can be helpful for the non-traditional student who's advanced in age, or the individual who got injured on the job site, or that veteran with a disability that we claim, you know, if we were to see them somewhere, we go and thank them for their service. So, you know, those broad strokes sometimes cause myopia.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, could there be some expenditures? Absolutely. You know, do you maybe have safety net programs there for students that, you know, may come from a disadvantaged background economically where, you know, wow, we found out that they're living in their car and we want to do something to make sure that they can succeed. Does it mean something like putting a food pantry on your campus because you find out right. that many of your students may be, you know, in need of meals? Is it something like providing bus passes for students because they have no other way of getting to your campus other than right. relying on rides from people? So, you know, is there the potential for expense in this? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's also where we can look at, you know, private donations, look at things like foundations to help be that safety net for some of these things to help like that if we are going to be concerned about cost. Because, you know, here again, imagine yourself being in a position like that where you may not know where your next meal is coming from, or you may not know how I'm going to get to class tomorrow because, you know, I'm relying on friends and my friend, their car broke down.
Right. And look at things like the modalities of instruction. If you have poor cameras in your classroom and poor microphones, then you're affecting the quality. If somebody's hard of hearing or the picture is grainy or whatnot, and especially if they're learning in their car or going to a coffee shop or wherever to get the internet or a library, it becomes exceedingly hard. So it's not just about the dollar signs. It's about how we are serving the individuals. And service to the individuals is what higher education is about, in my opinion. Education in general is not about the common denominator, but it's about the individual and their growth. Would you disagree with that, Chris?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, the thing that we haven't really talked about this is, you know, you always hear when you talk about, you know, inclusivity, you're hearing all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, we're not talking about making things any easier for somebody to get into our colleges. We're not talking about, you said it, we're not talking about lowering the rigor or anything like that. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about what inclusivity is not here in a moment. But, you know, again, it's, to me, we're treating people like human beings. We're treating people with the, you know, the golden rule is kind of what it comes down to for me, in my opinion, is, you know, imagine yourself in one of these positions and how would you like to be treated in a case like this?
That's an excellent point, Chris, is if we were to pause and think about how we ourselves and our family members ought to be treated, perhaps we will treat all of our students and potential learners a bit different. Folks, This has been another episode of Let's Talk Ed. In this Autism Awareness Month, Chris and I are talking about, well, we did speak about autism, but we're also now talking about inclusion. Inclusion of every single person. And Chris made a statement that I think is very important, which is the golden rule. If you were to follow it, wouldn't that enhance the opportunities of everybody else? Please like and share. We'd like to hear your comments. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell on YouTube. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's Talk Ed. For Chris, this is Zahi. We'll see you next time, where we're going to be talking about what inclusivity is not.